With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What is good? It is Kanye Twitty here with your AEW Week in Review. I am here in beautiful, beautiful Palm Springs, California. I'm having a blast. I'm actually on vacation, but I've managed to get a little time to decide to give y'all your Week in Review because, I mean, it's an easy one, especially when you have what I am calling the five-star show of the year so far. Period. It also carries the match of the year in my mind, and that was AEW's Dynamite. As a whole, complete show, I'm giving it 5 stars, period. This from front to back was just packed with so much goodness, and we talked about it in length on our WTFW podcast, episode 5, The Casual Trash. But the episode itself was full of so much fire that we didn't even have anything bad or negative to talk about for AEW's Dynamite. Kicks off Adam Cole and Dax Hardwood, and these two guys put on just a barn burner. And either Dax Hardwood is that good of a seller, or he legitimately had a rib injury. Cole sent him sternum first into a turnbuckle. There was sharpshooters. There was Martha. You know, Martha Owens is actually, you know, in the crowd, which is really, really, you know, not Martha Owens, but Martha Hart. You know, her. You know, she's actually in the crowd, and that was really, really neat. You know, because there's such a strained relationship with her in professional wrestling, but this match was absolutely lit. I'm going to say lit because it slayed from front to back. And there really was no way around it. Adam Cole winning was definitely the right move. But no matter what, you know, for a chance to see Dax Hardwood in a solo match, this here was absolutely beautiful. Follow up was you got CM Punk and John Silver. And John Silver, no matter what, the reason why he's really in this match because he's a hometown boy. And you also had Hangman Adam Page at ringside. but and that's really what this ultimately would come up to. But CM Punk played on the fact that he is not liked in Long Island because of the MJF feud, and he made sure to go ahead and just give him the rib. He rubbed him the wrong way. He kept doing it. Ultimately, obviously, he wins. And him and Hangman Adam Page start staring each other down. And for the first time in this feud, I am actually invested. Overall, great piece. Next up, you got one of my favorite storylines in AEW is the Hookhausen. Would it happen? Danhausen's taking on Tony Nese. Tony Nese just throttles him in a heartbeat. Like, that's really it. And it leads me to wonder if Danhausen is actually still injured, maybe, or this is just genius storytelling in the long burn to get him and Hook together. Danhausen gets whooped, and then they start whooping him down bad. Hook, send Hook. He came on in, sent the heels running, and basically, that's the point. Sends him running. Hook puts out his hand again, or not Hook, but Danhausen puts his hand out again. Like, are you, trying to get that handshake? And that's all it took for Hook was to grab his hand. The crowd absolutely erupted. And hey, now we have Danhausen and Hook, aka Hookhausen. The contract signing comes up, and this is the way you do a contract signing. MJF in his hometown, the only place that he's going to get absolutely cheered out the building, using the crowd to make decisions on whether or not Wardlow was even allowed to speak was genius. It basically ends up with MJF is going to make sure that Wardlow has to take 10 lashings for Mr. Spears next week before he can get the match with MJF. And as long as he does that, then it's going to be him, MJF, Double or Nothing. It's going to be great. The storyline between these guys is absolutely flawless, especially when you have this kind of talent in the ring. So, yeah. MJF, still best heel in the game. FTW Championship match. Jungle Boy, absolute Ricky Starks. I was really, really hoping that this was going to end a different way. Obviously, it did not. I do not believe that the FTW Championship means anything until it's on somebody other than Ricky Starks or anyone in FTW. But hey, it's Ricky Starks. It's Jungle Boy. They put on a fabulous, energetic, just off the wall match. I mean, it was a solid to me, B minus, and it ultimately comes down to, hey, Jungle Boy lost, he's down on himself. Christian Cage is out there, Luchasaurus is out there, everybody comes on out, and because we basically have this build towards the Limitless Keith Lee and Swerve versus Powerhouse Hobbs and Starks, and that's why I believe I was really ready for Jungle Boy to get this title off of him, let Starks and Hobbs get the tag team titles off of Jurassic Express, and then they can go on to a feud with the Limitless Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. But hey, it's a long burn. AEW is great with long-term storytelling, but a little Easter egg in this that I did notice was Cage waited for everybody to leave ringside and for Luchasaurus to leave the ring before he went over to console Jungle Boy. I still believe, and I think they keep planting the seeds for it. Jungle Boy, I think, is going to turn heel eventually with Christian Cage. I'm saying it right now, right here on the AEW review. Yes, I think that is going to happen. Next up, Jericho Appreciation Society victory speech. Anything that Jericho is doing now is absolute gold, but this took it to another level because now you have this big faction, and now we need to start seeing factions versus factions and trios versus trios. And none other than we are going to get a mixture of first Jon Moxley comes out, then Bryan Danielson comes out, then Wheeler Yuta and William Regal come out. And then Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz come out the other side, and you have the Jericho Appreciation Society. It was a little messy. I will admit it was a little messy, but seeing Jon Moxley come out when Jericho's basically saying that no superstar can touch him. Jon Moxley is somebody that can beat anybody up, and it's believable. I really do hope that we start getting some feuds for the three of them and for factions in general. I really want to see more feuds with complete factions, you know, like they're doing with this Jericho Eddie Kingston line. Yeah, the Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament quarterfinal. I mean, if any match was lower on the card to me, it would be this. Toni Storm, Jamie Hayter, I don't feel they had a lot of chemistry. Because I felt like it was a little clunky at times, and I feel like she botched. Toni Storm botched her Storm Zero at the end, but hey, it's Jamie Hayter, it's Toni Storm. It gets you Britt Baker on television because that is so worth it. We miss her. I miss her with a title. I gotta say, we miss her with a title, for sure. But with Jamie Hayter, I mean, eventually, I do see Hayter going up against Britt Baker, and that could be a non-title feud, and I'm ready for it. These two women are two of the best women in AEW, in my opinion. Next up, though, match of the year. I'm saying it right now. Match of the year. Darby Allin, Jeff Hardy, the Owen Hart tournament. What else can you say? If you have not seen this match, I mean, in doing anything and talking about it, it's just not going to do it justice. But they were jumping off 15-foot ladders from the ring to piles of chairs. That spot was redunculous. A coffin drop that Allin did that missed and he hit the ring apron absolutely killed me watching it. Jeff Hardy missing a Swanton Bomb onto steel steps and going into the guardrail. I mean, this match was absolutely insane. Insane. And for me, of all the people that should be in this tournament, Jeff Hardy deserves it. That's why I'm okay with Jeff Hardy getting it with a crucifix roll-up. Quite simply, like, this time when a roll-up was fine to me, because these two men absolutely put their bodies and their my mental capability in watching through complete hell in this match. And it sucks we may not see a one-on-one between these two again, but never say never. Maybe it'll happen down the line. Young Bucks, come on down. And so you got Jeff Hardy winning, but the Young Bucks want the Hardys. And I'm with it, you know. But of all the superstars in AEW, you know, Jeff Hardy belongs in this tournament. He actually wrestled with Owen Hart, and this was just overall the, like I said, 5-star match on a 5-star show. Period. There is no way around it. The best AEW Dynamite. If you have not actually seen this episode, forget the review, forget the the news articles and all that. Go back and watch it. And enjoy your amazing life decisions, because that's exactly what that is. That is a good, good life decision. Watch AEW's Dynamite, you know. And in that sense, I was actually kind of curious on how Rampage was going to do, because, I mean, that was a hard act to follow. That is quite a hard act to follow. But, I mean, when you start off with the Death Triangle versus Butcher, Blade, and Mark Quinn, you can't really miss. You can't really miss the crowd. This put the crowd in from the get-go of Rampage. Pac scored the win for his team. And the bottom line is his Black Arrow finisher may be one of the best finishers in the game. In the game, it has to be pretty, pretty close. And I'm really looking forward, you know, to what they're going to go, or where they're going to go with this story. I mean, I know that there's been there's been a lot of Pac and Malakai Black, storyline, but it's not finished to me. It's really not finished to me. And the Death Triangle, I feel they can go off and do anything, but I'm not done with, not the Death Triangle, the Butcher, the Blade, and Mark Quinn. They can go off and do anything, but I'm really looking forward to more of the Death Triangle and House of Black, because after the match was over, lights go out, lights come on. There's Malakai Black, and no fighting. I don't need them to brawl every day, every week, but ultimately that's what we're going to get. This match, absolutely beautiful. The Butcher, I believe, is a very, very, very underappreciated professional wrestler. The Blade, well, I'm going to say this. Who's taking all these beards from wrestlers? Who is beard snatching from people? Because the Blade, without a beard, I'm telling you, nope. You just don't have me anymore. Don't have me anymore. About as intimidating as Bear Boulder is for Sean Spears. And Sean Spears needs more time. Can we please get him more time on the mic, more time on TV, not just as a second fiddle? Because, he picked up Boulder, had him on his shoulders around the ring before he slams him down for his finisher to end the match. And it's insane. Sean Spears is absolutely brutal. This whole match was just to show him in a dominating squash-type form so that he could talk at Wardlow, because that's what he'll be dealing with next week. But please, AEW, give me more of Sean Spears. Even if, by himself. That's what I want. Sean Spears by himself. It's beautiful. After that, Riho Ruby Soho. This match really did exceed my expectations. They're still a little clunky. I don't know what it is, but I feel like Ruby Soho just needs to do some more dark matches or some stuff in the back with the people she's working with, because sometimes I feel like she's just clunky. This match was okay. It was okay. It was okay. There was some weird botches, some weird pacing of the match. But like I said, I think it's because they have not worked with each other for so long. Soho, she gets the win. To be honest with you, I really don't remember the last time I saw Riho get any significant push. So, Soho gets the win. She's moving on in the tournament. Hikaru Shida is going to be unable to compete in the upcoming match because of an injury. So she is going to be replaced by none other than Chris Statlander. So that's something really cool. We get Statlander back, and I'm pretty happy with that. And then it wraps up, Rampage wraps up with Scorpio Sky, Frankie Kazarian, former tag team partners, and this beautiful. When I said, I wondered if they were going to be able to keep that momentum or top or continue the heat, the absolute fire that Dynamite was. Yeah, did it here. I have not seen Frank Kazarian that often. I have not seen much from him. And, wow. This man needs to be wrestling all week. He needs to be a main stage player, you got a little wonky stuff, with Lambert coming down, getting a distraction so Paige can break up a submission. And, and the Scorpio Sky recovers and gets his win with the TKO. I know Kaz wasn't winning this, but it was nice to see that when Kaz, wants to shake hands and whatnot at the end, like you do in Ring of Honor, whether you're fighting for real, whether you like each other or not, you shake hands after the match. And Nope. We still got Scorpio Sky as a heel, turns around, hits Kaz with the TNT title, and that takes us out of Rampage. And it was solid. Absolutely solid. I give Dynamite 5 stars. I give Rampage 4. But no matter what, Rampage is still one of my favorite shows because you get an hour of wrestling, and it's quick. It's to the point, and it's almost always to me. I don't see why they keep saying on the internet the numbers of people watching are going down, because I see the shows getting better. So, hey, maybe y'all that are checking out and just getting the review because it wasn't your cup of tea at first, check back in, because, hey, Rampage has been killing it in this last week of AEW. Absolute fire. absolute fire. Yeah, and that's really it. You know, I need to get back to the pool. It's pretty hot in here in Palm Springs, but I wanted to make sure, you know, I took that time to get you your AEW week in review. You can catch me back on the WTFW podcast episode 7. Holy cow. Coming out with episode 7 this next week, where we talk all wrestling. It doesn't matter if it's AEW, WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor, your mom's house, my mom's house, two little kids playing in the front yard. It doesn't matter. It's what we do. And me and my boy in the Mean Lion will be coming back with our seventh episode. So big shout out to the WWE podcast. You can get subscribed to the Patreon. It gets you into the Discord server chat. It's only $1. Check out the website. It's only $1. Get in, get in the Discord server chat, have some fun with the fans like we do. And hey, if you want to follow us personally on Twitter at WTFW Trash, because that's what we do. Me and my boy Nami Lion, we give you the trash, the fire, and the Lunchable breaks. And AEW this week had zero Lunchable breaks. And in my mind, even the trash we could find was so insignificant that it wasn't even trash. You had to throw in the waste basket. You could just kind of sweep it under the rug. Way to go, AEW. I'll be back. My name is Kanye Twitty. Y'all have a great week, and let's have some fun. Let's see what AEW can do this week, because, hey, I'm all in. All in.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.